السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته my dear brothers.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته my dear sisters.
الحمد لله.
Let's get into the tea.
You better know the vibes.
We're part two. We're back here with Cyril and Hureyda.
You know the vibes. We outside. You know we had to bring them back.
I mean, you be acting like it's a different name.
Yeah, just, go with the, just go with it, bro. Just
go with the flow.
But alhamdulillah, like the first episode was so good. I learned a lot, and I hope you guys also learned a lot. Alhamdulillah.
I don't hope. I know you learned a lot.
Right.
Yeah, this is a no.
Yes, and they gave pretty good advice. And now we're, you know, steering the conversation to a different segment, a different part. And this one is about raising good Muslim families. All right, should I say that? Raising good Muslim families. Okay, so you guys can give an introduction again to who you are, short introduction.
Yeah, just in case, if you didn't hear the other episodes, you might want to go back.
Right, because you missed a lot.
Yes.
I'm Hureyra, and again, from before, my family is originally from Ghana. I guess I'm Mali, and I married somebody outside my culture. My husband's from Gambia.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Cyril, and I'm from Gambia. Alhamdulillah, born and raised here.
From Sabi.
Wait, are you from Sabi Qasir?
Yeah.
Oh, per.
We from Gambishara.
Wait, did you know I was from Sabi?
No, I didn't know until now.
Come on, I'm not gonna lie, like Jawaras are not really like.
I don't even know that we had Jawaras.
Yeah, you know Basiru Jawara?
Yeah, I know Basiru Jawara.
The rich Basiru Jawara. Yeah. You know he came from my house, right?
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Wow. You always gotta point that guy out.
I mean, he's
one of the richest guys in
the world. We don't care about that. He from Sabi.
He built the concrete roads in the Bolonga. How you say the village?
The village.
We're from Gambisara.
Bolonga.
Okura Gambisara.
But let me tell you, like, sorry, we get off a tribe, but my dad, before he came to America, you know, that's their, like, their father, one of their fathers. He used to work for him in one of the hotels before he came here and stuff like that. Yeah,
she loves to say that.
Wow. And I should brag, like, hello.
I'm from Gambisara. Marisakano. If you ever heard of Marisakano, y'all want to talk about rich man. My grandfather is Marisakano. You know what Marisakano?
Who's Marisakano?
La ilaha illallah. Get out of here, man. Get out of here.
And that's the thing, though. Everybody know about Basiru Jawara, but nobody know about Marisakano.
She was confused.
You confused?
I just want to go back. Just because he's rich don't mean we rich. Obviously, the riches didn't pass down.
No, I'm rich. I don't know about you. Sweetheart, you see when we went to Gambia?
I mean, Gambia, yeah, of course. Hear money when they try.
I am a rich guy.
Alhamdulillah.
La ilaha illallah. But we're going to get to that one day. But yeah, inshallah.
But anyways, back to the episode. So we just wanted to talk about kids and stuff like that and how to raise a righteous Muslim family and what are our thoughts surrounding that. So as you all know, we have a one-year-old son, Muhammad.
Championes.
Anyways, but do you guys have any children?
No, not yet.
Okay, inshallah, may Allah grant you guys righteous children.
Ameen.
So when you see like other couples or other Muslim families raising children outside of, you know, from an outsider's point of view, what things do you want to carry on? Or even the stories of the Prophet and his wives and stuff like that, what stories do you want to carry on?
And how you want to raise your kids?
Mm-hmm. Or kids.
Okay, so from what I see out there, like I'm gonna use the masjid as an example because I'm always at the masjid, right?
Something I gotta start doing.
Inshallah. But so like an example from my ustaz, you know, his kids are always there. They're learning Saturday and Sunday. They're there throughout the week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They're there. That's something that I want to do with my kids, inshallah.
So are you saying you want to be full time in a masjid?
I mean, even if it's not full time in a masjid, like obviously I'm going to be home helping out. But when my kid gets to that age, I would want my kid to be in a masjid. Like I feel like I'll be the type of dad who will go to the masjid with his kid. You know, prayer times I'll go with my kid. You know, like I would want my kid to grow up in the masjid as well to know, you know, the deen. Because, you know, there's going to be times where, you know, when they get to a certain age, they have to go to school. They're going to get the knowledge of that. But I don't want them to miss out on the Islamic knowledge as well. So I'm going to raise you as a Muslim, you know, and then, yeah, as a Muslim first. You're going to go out there. You're going to learn what you need to learn in school. You know, yeah, that's, inshallah, that's one of the things. Yeah.
You take from the masjid. Okay, hold it on you.
I think one thing I would take is, firstly, like, also raising my children through Islam, not just our culture. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think through Islam, just about, especially when Islam's like character, like, growing, raising our kids, like, with good character and, like, their outview of the world as well. Because they're not just going to be in the masjid. They're going to interact with other people as well. So, like, you know, taking your family values outside and ensuring that, like, you're an ambassador of our family. So, like, keeping that on, you know, just the way you behave outside and stuff like that. I'm not sure if I really answered the question.
No, you did. You did. So, part of another question that I want to ask is, I know you guys, or I know Tio really wants to raise his children in the masjid. Does this include taking your kids to Islamic school? Or you don't mind public schools? Or what is your take on that?
So, for me, I'm planning to work in public school, inshallah. Yeah. And as of right now, I don't think I would want my kids in that dynamic just yet. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sure. I feel like my mind will probably change later on. Mm-hmm. But inshallah, if I do have kids now, I don't think public school is the way for me, per se. Mm-hmm. If I do have money, then maybe private school, Islamic school. But even then, I think there aren't enough Islamic schools in our community where the kids are able to see people like them. Like, a lot of, like, the Islamic schools in the state, or in the city at least, is, like, with Bengali and South Asian people, Arab people, and their culture is way different. You want your kids to also grow up in a culture where they're familiar with, where, you know, you don't want them to grow up thinking differently or, like, acting differently. So just something that they're used to. So I saw this tweet where it was, like, a sister raised her kids, like, she homeschooled her kids, and then after, she would take them to the masjids, because a lot of masjids have after-school program. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't like homeschooling because your kids don't get to associate or socialize with other kids their age. Mm-hmm. But, like, for her to get that done, she takes them to the masjid where you see kids of different ages interact. So I think, like, it got me thinking, like, okay, maybe I would want to consider that. But as of right now, public school is very interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a lot of support in learning, one. And two, they focus on social emotional learning, but a lot of people come from different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. You don't really know how to, like, focus on everybody, and there aren't enough resources within our community per se to actually fulfill or, like, to serve and, like, you know, take care of everybody, which is the problem. So, like, you know, I would rather my kids learn with me if, you know, again, resource time. I don't have that. But if I do, inshallah, I would rather they learn with me and then go to the masjid and do the after school program.
And Sierra, what do you prefer?
I never really thought about, you know, with the school system and everything. But now that you, like, brought up the question, I actually know people who went to an Islamic school here, and alhamdulillah, they memorized Quran, came out, and I mean, they used to be outside in the masjid too, so I guess what she was saying is kind of what happened with them. So I mean, I don't mind. Like, I would put my kids in an Islamic school, and then, like she said, take them to the masjid sometimes. But as for, like, public school, I don't know. Yeah, I never really thought about it. You know, we went through the school system, so we know how it is.
But we have to remember the time we went and the time that's going on.
Yeah, it's different. That was crazy. Yeah, but I think me personally, I'll probably put them in an Islamic school.
But that also comes with money.
Yeah.
That's one of the things we always talk about and always discuss, like, what are our goals for our children? And obviously, it's Islamic school, but that's hard to do sometimes under one income, depending on how the situation is. So is it, like, obviously, like, I'm willing to help in that aspect, but is it, like, is it given that, like, I mean, to be honest, me, I would work day and night if it takes me to put my kids in a school that will increase them in Islamic knowledge and just protect them from the fitna of this world. That's me. I don't care if I have to work till 50 years old. I will do that if I need to do that. But then it's kind of scary. Like, is that what I have to do? And then also homeschooling comes about. But do I think I'm equipped with that?
Time and resources. Exactly. You know? Because, like, to be honest, in this world that we live in, there's no... Time is a luxury, right? So we don't have that, to be honest, at all. Like, right now, we all have to work. To even... We don't even get near the 1%, but, like, we have to work. We don't have time. So it's like, we need that. And something that I was also thinking of is, like, maybe, like, saving up as much as I can and going to an Islamic country where maybe the Islamic schooling may be different. But then again.
But are you saying, like, you and the kids? Yeah. What about your husband?
I'll bring him too.
You gotta propose. Like, are you guys thinking of making hijrah together?
Yeah, like something like that came up with us, but we didn't really think of kids yet. But like, I would implement my kids into that too. But then that takes money.
Yeah.
And also going to like Saudi or Egypt or whatever, they don't really got jobs for us. So there's an issue.
How are you going to survive?
Yeah, like there's always like a problem and a conflict with everything you take. But to be honest, if you trust Allah and you go with whatever it is that you think is best. But for right now, I don't think the hijrah is part of my plan just yet.
She want Dubai.
I mean,
that's why when you said that, she was so happy. Like, yes.
I mean, I think what I'm trying to do basically is most of the most modern Islamic country, and I think that's Dubai. But Egypt is also within that. But then Egypt comes with its own.
That's what I'm saying. Like you said, a modern place. Right. That's what I meant by like, if you go to like a country where it's not developed, like everything, including your point of view on different things, is gonna be so secluded, like so closed in that you don't think. Like in America, we're so exposed. We're exposed to so many things, whereas like we see and are like we have accessibility to everything.
Right.
It opens our minds. It makes us think too much to the point where you sometimes doubt your religion and stuff. I don't want to expose my kids with all of that. Because like being in public school right now, they're even pushing us to be thinking about LGBTQ.
I know that. That's what I
from
said.
From elementary. And it's very scary. Obviously, I'm not going to see my point of view, but I'm Muslim, so you should know. I'm doing like my master's to teach right now, and we had a whole like class on implementing LGBTQ, not point of views, but like introducing them to that. Like, because again, they're going to grow up in a world where everything is not the same. Now we have same dad, I don't know how you say it, same gender families and stuff like that. So not every family is going to look the same. So there's teaching the kids about that to grow up, I guess, in a way is kind of like giving them that prior knowledge so that they're not ignorant or like, they're aware, like making the kids. But I think too much awareness has its own issues. Because at a young age, it's too much. Kindergarten, they're telling us, read these books. I just think it's not.
Yeah, like, but I'm not going to public school. He's confirmed it for me. I'm going. I don't know if I'm going to rob a bank, but he is not going to public
school. Yeah, that's why I think it's good to be somewhere where like there's a good balance between like you taking in the secular knowledge and also having exposure to Islamic knowledge, because we can't teach religion in these schools.
You know,
that's the thing. You know,
I feel like especially living in the West is so hard as a parent one to keep hold on to your religion, being that like, first of all, we work 9-to-5s, and then within those 9-to-5s, we try to do as much as we can to please Allah, to you know, worship Allah, and that's so little time, you know.
Yeah,
and then you as a parent, you thinking about, okay, what can I do? Can I do all these worships in front of my child so they see that, okay, this is how we want you to be. This is how I want you to grow. And sometimes it's hard, but I feel like we have to try our best. I watched this YouTube video one time, and we talked about this, babe. This woman, she didn't memorize the Quran, but she worked hard to allow her son to memorize the Quran. She didn't memorize the Quran, but since he was 3, she stood with him. She was patient with him. She would teach him the Quran, but because she's not a hafiz, is that the right term for a woman? She's not a hafiz. She would take him to the madrasa, and then the guy would listen to her, and then he got his shahada through that person. But I remember the kid, he did his own interview, and he was saying that his mom would just expose him only to like Arabic, not Arabic, like Muslim cartoons and stuff like that. And she was consistent. Every day he would take something. Every day she would do revision. Every day she would do miraj with him. Like, she was consistent. And I feel like nowadays it's hard to do that. Maybe because we have a 9-to-5, or maybe it's not. But I feel like if we try, if our intentions are pure, and we really want our kids to become, you know, the next leaders of Islam and stuff like that, we need to actually, like, you know, do that. So we can't, it's hard. Like, we want some of the dunya, but then we want our kids to be this certain way. So I don't know. Sometimes it can become.
We only want the dunya's money.
But you want the dunya's success too,
I need the money. That's it.
What do you guys think about that though?
Yeah, I think. Oh, you want to speak?
No, go ahead.
I think, like you said, the parent has to be as involved as they can. It's very hard with the way we live, but I think with the little time that you do have, right, you can try it. And one thing that I think a lot of parents need to do, now that I'm like in the masjid and I help out a lot, parents need to be involved. It's not just about putting your kids in the masjid and just going. You have to be involved in tracking their progress. So I think that's something that we can try and do. Like, on the weekends, you know, going in, even like the weekends are our free times, and maybe they're there for 2 hours. like use that 2 hours to sit in the masjid with your child. You could learn from that even mm-hmm. how they interact and how, but like seeing them actually mm-hmm. learn. I think a lot of parents, again, maybe it's our free time. So, you know, you want to relax mm-hmm. or you want to take the day off.
Mm-hmm.
But again, having kids, like you have to invest in all of that.
Comes with sacrifice, yeah.
Yeah, and kids are an amana. You have to also invest in what they get to learn in. Mm-hmm. So you have to make sure that they're actually learning or mm-hmm. you put them in the right environment. So mm-hmm. you can't just plop your kids in the masjid, mm-hmm. say bye-bye and have the...
And hope that they...
The ustaz and whoever else is around them just... There are a lot of kids. Like,
yeah.
Especially in our community masjids, everybody goes to the masjid. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know? Mm-hmm. And
wow.
I also think... Us as the parents, we also have to invest in the masjid as mm-hmm. much as we invest in schools and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of parents, they don't do that, like money wise. I know it's a little bit hard, and you get grace from the masjid because we're all Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
We all have to give each other that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it just doesn't happen where the effort that you're putting in your school. Again, mm-hmm. secular knowledge is important, but it doesn't trump like Islamic knowledge.
Right, right.
Because that's what's going to put your kids, that's what's going to help them in the akhirah. And mm-hmm. to be honest, my dad always told us, you do 5 days of school, you do 5 days of the masjid.
Wow. So love that.
We always did that. Like, I think that's one thing that we were in the masjid all the time. Mm-hmm. But then again, it's also you, like you growing up, how mm-hmm. you end up taking that. Because a lot of people see it as, oh, you're forcing it on me. And you just have to think of it. Yeah. This is what's going to, you know, speak right. for you in the hereafter. Mm-hmm. So you have to consider that for yourself as the child and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think just investing in your kids' education outside of just like, you mm-hmm. know, school and stuff, you have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with whatever little time you have, I think you could do it.
Right. I remember it was this lady. I think Omar Jabi was saying. I'll say, would you like that?
Oh, no, she said it all. Go ahead.
Umar Jabi was saying that he teaches at a masjid in his community, and this lady would always bring her son or daughter, her child, to the masjid, and she would come and sit with the child. And mm-hmm. that doesn't only motivate the child to, like, yeah. say, okay, my mom is trying with me. Let me keep going. Let mm-hmm. me not give up. But I feel like in our culture, a lot of the time, the what our parents used to do, I don't know if they still do this, we go to school Monday to Friday, and they drop us off Saturday, Sunday. We have Arabic school. A lot of us probably didn't take as much as we needed from that, and that's why, like, now we're going up, and then we're trying to learn the Quran now.
Hmm? I was definitely one of those.
Yeah, we all were one of those. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I'm not gonna lie. When I grew up, I was going to school Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
To Arabic school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was definitely one of those. The Saturday, Sunday, and then the day that my father finally found out this kid don't know nothing. Is when he sat us down one day and he was like, yo, Biagi, come sit here. He said, so what suit are you in?
Mm.
So I'm like, I'm hype. I'm like, yo, I'm on one Naziat. I remember the half of that at the time. Like, so my thing was, whatever I learned in that moment, I know that part. What I learned is gone.
Oh
yeah,
gosh.
So my dad was like, yeah, you're in one Naziat. So for some reason, what Shamshi wa Duha is my dad's favorite surah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I knew the beginning because he used to say that in the prayer a lot. So I'm like, Shamsi wa Duha. Okay. He said, so come here. Yeah, what nonsense. So he's happy. Okay, read what Shamsi wa Duha. I said, eh. I said, oh, he said, look. I said, what Shamsi wa Duha?
But he had the Musa?
He had the Quran. Yes. I memorized it. My daddy, I don't think he memorized it either. So, you know what I'm saying? So he's like, okay, read it. I said, what Shamsi wa Duha? Because I remember that part because he just said it to me. Right. I said, what Shamsi wa Duha? Uh-huh. I was like, He said, "Wal-qamari zat." I said, "Wal-qamari zat alaha." I said, He looked at me like, and then my little sister, Fatu, I will never forget that. I'm sorry, I had to say her name because she did me dirty that day. I don't know what made Allah put in her mind to know what Shamsi wa Duha. For some reason, she knew the whole surah. So, and I was ahead of her. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So my dad was like, so Fatu was like, oh, that's so easy. She started reading the whole truth, and I'm just sitting there like, yo, my dad never hit me on the head. That's the day I got a knuckle to the head. You don't know nothing. You're wasting my money. I'm like, you can't say, you don't know nothing. You're wasting my money. I'm like, yo. And I'm just tired. I looked at my sister like, you a hater. Like, you put me through this, yo. I was tired.
But I think the part of that was. Know,
this kid, though. We got to really be on.
And I think part of that was that because we were just said, go to Qur'an, go to Arabic school and read.
Yeah, that's
the love of the Qur'an was not fulfilled within us.
We didn't understand mm-hmm. what we was reading.
But imagine at that point, you on Nazi'ah and you sitting there. You don't even know how to read from the Mus'haf.
Well, I didn't.
So what were we doing all this time? Yeah.
Well, I don't even know myself.
That's so crazy, interesting. Right? That's so interesting. And I think as much as you put your child in a Islamic school to learn, you have to do your part in the household. Mm-hmm. You have to teach them. You have to do your due diligence. Teach them the huruf before they even get to the Quran. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even back then, the Sahabas, let me not say this. The scholars say that they will teach their children about Tawheed first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, loving Allah first, why we worship Allah, this and that. But it's hard for, you have to know why. Because if you just tell somebody, here, pray 5 times a day. A lot of us, they told us to pray. We sit in the room and act like we pray.
Sweetheart, that was another one, you know. Yeah, one of us would be like, I ain't go, like, my mom would be like, yeah, go pray. Okay, I'll go to the room. So now I'm like, maybe I have my game. I'm playing my video game. Once I hear a footstep coming to the door, I throw that joint and I get into sujood because I knew that position. So when I get into sujood, every rakah, it is funny because only one time my mom kind of caught me. And I got into sujood, I got back up, act like I was saying tayyatu lillahi, right? And I said, assalamu alaikum, assalamu. My mom was like, so you finished praying? I said, yeah, I'm finished. She said, how many rakahs did you pray? I didn't even know how many I was supposed to pray. I said, 3. She said, see. She said, okay, you see, you're missing one. I said, okay. So now I got up. Because I was doing this so much, I didn't remember how to do the positions. Like the prayer positions. Yeah, it was that bad. So I'm out here standing. I'm like, Allah, which one is next? Allah. But even the Sami Allah, I didn't know how to ask Allah. But my mom was like, Biagi, I'm Sali. You did not pray. Yo, and then that's what she noticed. And she was like, she looked at the time. 1 minute passed. How did I pray 4 in 1 minute? I said, damn. Right. Yeah, she caught me there. So, but I didn't know why I was praying. That's the thing.
Exactly.
I thought we just prayed. They just told us to go pray, but I didn't know the why.
And that's why it's so important to teach. Let them know why the why. It is,
there you go. Why are you praying? Who is it for? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like as soon as your kids start saying all those like words and stuff, that's the time to introduce it to them. Because, you know, we try to introduce letters and English words and like numbers and stuff. I think that's also time to like introduce Alif Bata, like you know.
Sorry to cut you off. That video I was talking about with that kid that memorized, his mom helped him memorize the Quran.
He was crying, right? I don't know if somebody was crying in the video.
Yeah, I seen a kid crying in a video, and the mom was like, "Yeah, I don't know. Like, I was hard on you, but there was
no. This he did that's a solo. This was like I don't know where he's from, so I think he's Somali or something like that.
Oh, okay,
but he was doing an interview just one on one with the chef. Then he said. He memorized that like 12, I think, or something like that. Yeah. But he was saying his mom did not teach him secular knowledge. After he memorized the Quran, so everything, all that became easy for him. And it just goes to show that if you teach your child the deen and everything that they need to know within the deen, everything else will come smoothly. Yeah. But I feel like we skipped a step. We worried about the secular knowledge and then we put Islam second. That's what messes us up.
Yeah, that's true. I think, I remember somebody was saying, like, after they memorized the Quran, or finished reading at least, everything was coming easier for them in school. Like, your brain opens up, honestly. Like, you know, you just become a smarty person. Like, you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easier for you. Especially if you're able to memorize and capture all that knowledge, and especially the Quran, like, reading all those pages, you're definitely going to, like, have that cognitive, like, your mind is going to open in school where you're able to retain information better because you were able to retain, you know, Allah's words in, like, you know.
Yeah.
So it's going to be way easier.
Mm-hmm. I should have memorized the Quran.
Inshallah, life is not too late.
I'm still going through it, man.
But the power, I don't feel like you have the intention.
No, it's 2 jobs.
You don't even have a second job right
now. You don't gotta do that right now, sweetheart. Right now,
what am I like? You keep blaming the dunya. You keep blaming the dunya. When you die, Allah ain't gonna ask you about your second job. You know what I'm saying? People who work 7 days a week and they still make time for Allah. So that's not your excuse.
I make time for Allah.
You want to so-called memorize the Quran, but you don't have time.
I said I need to.
People make time for what they want. Remember that.
Not everybody's gonna memorize the Quran.
But what if that's written for you? You don't know until you try.
I mean, you're right. I was gonna say something, but
if it was written for you, would have been did it. Maybe that time wasn't your time, though.
I might have to look into it.
Inshallah.
I'm gonna look into it. Oh, I should have never said that. Now she's gonna be like, babe, so have you looked into it? Oh, man. I'm talking about, right? Okay, go ahead.
I'm not gonna force anybody to memorize the Quran.
No, but I'm saying you're gonna
The type of person that I am now, I just worry about myself.
and worry about the worship that I have to do, because at the end of the day, Allah's not going to ask me, oh, did you tell your husband to pray 5 times? He's going to say, what about your prayers? Did you read Quran 5? Did you read Quran this much? So and so. Did you seek knowledge? He's going to ask me about myself. So I'm not going to worry about, I'm delighted, I did my part. I married a man and I hope that he leads the family the way he's supposed to lead the family. And I, you know, also one thing about that, I wanted to also say that dua is really important. Before you even have kids, while you have kids, I just noticed that, like, after having a child, that I'm never going to stop praying for my child.
Yeah, 100.
Every salah, I pray on them, and you make this child a righteous child. And you make the next children righteous children. It's like, dua is something like it's never ending. Yeah. It's never ending. You will never stop asking for something, especially when you have children, when you want the best for them children. You forget about yourself. Every salah, you think about your children. Yeah, you forget about your worries, because imagine you have a child and they are not, you know, they fall astray, right? Right, so you know, one thing about that, before you even have children, just constantly make dua that Allah grants you righteous children, because that child could be, you know, the worst of this dunya, right? You pray that doesn't happen, but that happens, you know.
That also comes in play of you teaching them the deen and stuff like that. Inshallah, it'll help them maneuver through life.
Yeah, but then the Allah's the one that guides, right?
Yeah, but you know, you do your part, you try your best, and then whatever happens, that's what Allah's written. But you do your best at the end of the day, you know. Mm-hmm.
I remember Abu Jafar's class, he was telling us about the stages of like when a mother conceives and stuff like that, and that the soul is blown into the baby at 4 months of the mom's pregnancy, and that is when the fate of the child, whether they go to hell, heaven, the type of life, and how long they live is written at 4 months. But he kept on reminding us that dua can change this. Yep. Yeah, if someone is intended to go to hell, but the mother, like a mother's dua, is constantly praying, not just the mother, the father too, but they're constantly praying for the goodness of the child, that can change the fate of the child. And that always keeps me like motivated.
It was one of the best things. Because, you know, if you go about the mindset that everything is written and stuff, you're not going to you're never going to try. Like, you know, you're never going to try to change. Okay, I'm meant for this place. What's the point? I could do whatever I want. I'll end up there. But dua will change that. Dua is going to change that. You know, so it is. Dua can change Qatar.
So I have a question for you. What is, as a man, what is your goal on how you will lead your family? What are the things you want to do as a man?
That's a good question.
And do you think that your role is important in the family?
Oh, 100%. You know, what's the ayah in the Quran? Ar-rijalu qawwamun 'ala an-nisa.
I knew that.
Okay, but you know something.
I don't know that, but that part, I remember that. The qawwamun. No. I know rijal part, but I know
qawwamun. That's it, right? So yeah, I mean, it's up to us to lead the family, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a hadith. I can't remember the hadith exactly, but I know the meaning. Okay, so basically it's like, what is it? I know it has to do with having you're the shepherd of your flock, right?
Okay.
So basically, we are the shepherd of our flock. Our family is our flock, right? So we have to take care of them, right? So 100%, I think it's our responsibility to, you know,
keep them in line.
Can I put you on the spot here? Like, how do you plan to do that? Like, you're saying like it, but like,
Give the general.
Thank you, sis.
Okay,
we need an answer.
Alhamdulillah, you know, Allah has blessed me. So one of the ways that I plan on doing that, obviously, is through Islam. You know,
going to the masjid, like you said. Yeah, I got you.
I mean, going to the masjid. Don't worry, I got you. Teaching. If I had kids right now, alhamdulillah, inshallah, I would have. If I had a kid, I would teach them about Islam. That's number one.
Yep.
That's my way of, you know, going about it.
Yeah,
you know, Islam is always number one for me, because like it was said earlier, that's what's gonna help us later on.
Yeah,
you know, I have students that I talk to about this all the time. Like, I understand the stuff that you do in school is important, but here in the masjid as well is important, because when you die, when they ask you those questions in the grave, they don't teach you that in school.
Nope.
You know,
Wallah.
When you come to the masjid, you learn about your deen, then you'll be able to answer those questions. Obviously, there's more to it. You know, you got to have the iman. you gotta believe in La ilaha illallah, all of that, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't get that knowledge in the school, you get that in the masjid. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely prepare my family for all of that, you know. Make sure you're on top of your deen, mm-hmm. you're doing what you have to do, mm-hmm. you know.
So what does this look like?
Now, how are you gonna make sure that?
Oh, I mean, me personally, you know, I teach at the masjid, so I'll teach my family that mm-hmm. at the, in the house, you know. Mm-hmm. That's something I need to work on, mm-hmm. but, you know, alhamdulillah, that's my goal.
Okay, but let me tell you some piece of advice. It's important you work on it now before you have children.
Inshallah. Yeah, Charles. That's a fact.
Go ahead. And
also, like, as a man, like, in the house, mm-hmm. how would you make sure that your role...
interviewing you now, Siru.
Yeah. Oh. No, I think for both of you guys mm-hmm. as well. Like, uh-huh. how would you make sure that your role is perceived, like, by your children? Like, you're not just the man that just works in and out, just the masjid, the house. Like, you know, not that the masjid can't be your whole life, but, mm-hmm. like, you know, you're also a husband. Like, how would you make sure your children are seeing that in the aspect? Like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're a husband as well?
Yeah, yes. Like, how you're
so, in the house and stuff. So, I'm gonna take this example from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Uh-huh.
All right. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to help out his wives in the house.
Yes.
All right. So that's another thing I would do.
Uh-huh.
All right. My wife is coming home after work. She's going to be tired. Mm-hmm. If there's dishes in the sink, get them out the sink.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife needs help with cooking, help her out. Mm-hmm. She needs help cleaning, help her out. Mm-hmm. You know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it. You should also be, you know, doing it. Mm-hmm. Try to do it. You want to follow his sunnah. Mm-hmm. You want to be with him. So do it. Mm-hmm. All right, and that's something that I want my kids to see.
Yeah,
you know, I want my kids to grow up seeing that, you know, it's okay to even, you know, we grew up.
Yeah, we don't wash dishes.
Our fathers were not in the kitchen.
No, we don't
washing dishes.
Yeah, at all.
They were not cleaning the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
at all.
But with us, we can change that.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Help out in the house uh-huh. any way you can.
Right.
All right. But that's something I definitely want to instill in my children, and that's something I want to be doing in my household, inshallah.
Also here and there, you know, sometimes, but to let them know, that's my wife.
Yeah.
Go and hug your wife.
Exactly.
Let them know.
That's
you know
a big
saying?
One. That's a big one.
One little hug. Trust me, it does a lot.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Because you said all the other pointers. Already,
yeah.
So I can't add
right,
on to that.
Right.
That little hug part, trust me, is very effective.
Yeah.
I also want to mention, like, regardless, like, you know, you can be in the masjid and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. also teach your kids, like, the importance of salah.
No.
And being with family. Being around family.
Mm-hmm. Like, and spending quality time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, with your family.
Yeah. Kinship is important in Islam.
Yeah.
Very important in Islam.
Very important. But back to the salah part, like, as the leader of the family, when it's time for salah, you should be the first one there that would tell your family and call them to salah. That's just the, opinion that I go with. But I think that's very important. Like, even our son, like, he knows once he's ready to pray, he starts doing his own little prayer. But the point that he knows that we pray as a family and stuff like that goes a long way.
Yes.
They grow up seeing this stuff and it's like, okay, my family, my parents did not pray about Salah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I didn't grow up in a household where my dad would either pray. Everybody would just pray by themselves, by themselves. So now, I grew up, and if it wasn't for like the Qadr of Allah, the blessings of Allah, who knows if I would have took Salah seriously, right? Mm. I later on, throughout my life, had to make that promise to Allah
like
and being like, Allah, I will never miss a prayer after this. But before that, I was playing around with the prayer.
Yeah. You too?
I mean, I feel like, you know.
So I'm not the only one.
What?
I thought I was the only one.
From the prayer.
Right.
You know, they say, you steal it from your prayer, you get it from sujood 2 seconds. Not even a second, you back down. Yeah, what?
They say
we used to do that.
I know.
I mean, at least I was doing the motions. Once I just one move.
So
I did it too damn much to the point where I literally, that was my
own one.
Yeah, it was too much and I kept doing it. Muslim had one move and that was it.
But going back to what you said about Salah, like, I remember you asked a question about what we would take from other, like, seeing other people's children. I think, like, from my personal experience,
mm-hmm.
I remember that when we went to school, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. So, like, mm-hmm. you know, when we had a routine. Mm-hmm. You come, drop off your bags, you make wudu, you pray, and then it's straight to them. Like, we would pray as siblings or we pray by ourselves. But then the part that my dad made sure that, like, we always did was pray Fajr, Maghrib, and Isha together. Those three, like, mm-hmm. salahs, we prayed together.
Mm-hmm.
And that also ties into, like, quality time with your family. Because after Maghrib, I was telling you guys, we used to sit down and talk all the way to Isha. Like, especially, it was a little bit shorter, I think, during, like,
the winter months.
Winter time. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, those are the times that we would catch, because you don't get to see your family throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Your dad is working, your mom is, like, you know, your mom is, everybody's everywhere. So that was the time that, the little time that we had to ensure that our family was still, like, you know, mm-hmm. together.
Did you guys do this every time you guys were Maghrib?
For the most part, yeah.
Wow.
Like, if you ask my siblings, for the most part,
nice. I like that.
We did it. So that's one thing that I would implement. Like, sometimes I try to do with just, even if it's just us, like, mm-hmm. just to talk about our days. I mm-hmm. like talking. So mm-hmm. I like to talk about anything. Mm-hmm. Just if we have something that came up that we would like to, like, you know, fix with ourselves, mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. we'll use that Maghrib time to yeah. talk about it. And yeah. if, good. You know, but, uh-huh. Really you good. Know, and if time permits, then if Isha comes, then you meet Isha. But, right. you know.
Even, like, I feel like that's very important to implement. I forgot what I was going to say.
Spending time with the family?
Yes, that especially. But, what I was about to say is, that's a little bit of time. Like, you know, after we pray, we try to hurry up and try to go do the things we have to do before the next prayer. But I feel like, I always remind you of this, like, the dunya, there's always going to be something you have to do. So spend time with the people that you love. Imagine, mm-hmm. God forbid, you pass away. Yeah. I'm only going to regret, like, damn, I wish I would have talked to you. I wish I would have said these things to this person. So, you know, just take your time. It's okay if you go to sleep 10 minutes or whatever, but just spend quality time with your family. That's most important. Because I know there's many people in the world where they lost loved ones and they're like, damn, I wish I said this one thing. I wish I spent more time with this person. Regardless, you're gonna have regrets, but at least you tried your best. You know, to the best of your ability, you tried your best.
Mm-hmm. And, like, to this day, we talk about the talks we have with our dad and all that. Like, you know, it all comes back. I'll talk about it with my mom, our siblings. It's like random times. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, at least we had our time with them.
Yeah,
you know?
Alhamdulillah. So, being that you guys are intercultural marriage, do you guys want to teach your kids both languages?
Oh, yeah. So for me, that's one thing. Again, I grew up with intercultural marriage, but I didn't learn my dad's language like that.
And what language was that?
Songhai.
Oh, yeah, you did say that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I didn't learn anything. I learned, like, 1, 2, 3. And I think there's something similar between Songhai and Songhai. Like, I think you guys say Maninya.
Maninya. What happened?
Yeah, we say the same thing, too. So, like, I think you guys, we're both, like,
so I think your dad's language was Soninke.
It wasn't Soninke. It was Songhai.
Because she said Soninya. It was Soninke.
It sounds like Soninke, though, eh?
Maninya, that's how
we're trying. I mean, you know, a lot of, like,
a lot of languages, they have
a lot of similarities.
Yeah, yeah, like the Mande tribes. Yeah, like Malinka.
Yeah, we have some similarities with Malinko.
We say Hani.
Yeah.
So I think it was just that. But, so I would want my kids to learn both languages. Mm. I would try my best. Even if I have to do my little one piece Sony K, you're going to get it. Yeah. If I have to do my house, you're going to have to get
Welcome
it.
Welcome to
so.
The Sony K family. Yeah. You better make sure.
Oh, what? Of course. What? My kids, I wanted to speak both languages. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's a beautiful
Let me tell you guys
that's
something.
Nice, well,
What I was going to say is it's harder. It's easier said than done.
That's
the thing. Being that we have our child, we only share one language together.
Yeah.
And so, I feel like we grew up in a household where we always speak English. So I have to constantly think about what I'm about.
We be speaking sort of ulit about, and he be understanding.
But we say simple stuff like liere or hani or.
It starts with that. You know, we can't hit him with the whole kutuba at once. You know,
of
you gotta
course.
Give him the little mini things.
But sometimes I wish that we would have just spoke. When we come here, we strictly speak Soninke. Mm.
Yeah, because they're going to learn English regardless in this world.
I used to get in trouble for speaking English in the house. Oh. Like,
see?
Yeah. My dad was not playing. Because it came to a point where we were, like, losing our language. We spend 5 days, 10 hours, 6 hours, 50 hours throughout our whole week just speaking
English.
Right.
And then that's how me and my siblings speak. And I'm like, I feel like I'm losing my language, you know? So I think it's important to, even if you don't want to do this, I think it's important to also, like, do the, just talk to them. They're going to pick it up. Because English, you're also speaking to him.
Yeah.
You're not just, you know, I think it's okay to just start speaking the whole dialect. Just say whatever. They're going to pick it up. They'll understand eventually.
Yeah.
You know, they're growing their minds. So. Mm-hmm,
that's true.
Yeah.
And bye. From now on, only salam hule.
So.
Inshallah, my guy. Salam hule. Bye, Liria. Okay.
We said this many times, though, but inshallah, we want to renew our intentions.
The thing is, it slips up sometimes because we're so used to it.
Yeah.
It's hard to just only, you know, but with my mom, I only speak Salam Hule to her. I don't speak English to her because pretty much that's what she knows.
But the thing with us is that you kept on saying that I kept on speaking English, but then it's actually you.
No, in the beginning.
Because I kept being like, babe, someone in care.
Yeah, it's just I kind of got used to with the English.
And to be honest, I would say that your son is better than mine because I was not raised in Gambia. Mm-hmm. You were there for almost a decade.
I wasn't raised in a but decade.
You, how many years was there for?
Babe, 5 years.
Oh, but that's still more than me.
Half a decade.
Yeah,
half a decade. Half a decade, not still, a decade.
I would say your son is better than me.
No, alhamdulillah, it is a little bit, not that much. Don't get it wrong. My son is not that good, boy. Yeah.
But do you feel like you, Hureira, have made progress with speaking Soninke?
No. I have not, and I blame him. Because when we first got married, we were like, oh, you know, we're going to make a pact to say some certain things. Like, we know, like you said, Lee, Ondaga, all that stuff, you know. Yeah. You're going to know it because it's like certain things that you're going to
say a lot.
But I think one thing, my in-laws, especially my mother-in-law, she don't play.
Really?
Sometimes I'm sitting there, and she'll say again. A whole dialect. Yeah. I'm staring at her. She's staring at me. But I get used to it because of the context clues. Like, you get to know. But I still don't pick. I don't think, like, you know, I'm not saying that's not the best way for me to learn. So I don't think. Obviously, she thinks, like, as time goes, it's going to come to me. Hopefully, inshallah. But.
Inshallah.
Wait, yeah. But it's not only her learn our language. Sure. What are you learning in their language?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know. What you learning, brother?
We're on the same boat.
Are you teaching him your language?
We're trying. I'm not teaching her. She's not teaching me. You know, sometimes we will like tell each other some things. Yeah. Like sometimes she will speak to me in her language, and then she will tell me to like guess what she's saying. You know,
that's fun.
Yeah,
that's fun with it.
Yeah.
It's based on the scenario. Like I'm just not gonna throw something at you.
Based on the scenario, she will say.
Context clues to like, you know,
but I think it needs to get to that point. I feel like it's more difficult for you guys because if you speaking in Soninke, she's speaking in Hausa. How are you guys gonna understand each other? Or maybe you guys can do like part of the day Soninke and part of the day Hausa.
You can have fun with it. That's the beauty of marriage. Y'all sit down, y'all conversate. In that those conversations, you know, she'll be teaching you some of it. You'll be teaching her, you know. Have a lifetime. Get them get together, inshallah, till Jannah. You get on
inshallah.
So at the end of the day, you know, me and her, we just sometimes, like, you see this? This is normal. We sit and chat. As you know, I'm very talkative. But that's the thing. So, yeah, I could do that. You know what I'm saying? That's all marriage is about. Sitting down with your partner. They have more fun. They can have more fun with it.
And to be honest, you guys have no kids right now, so you have this is the time. We're gonna learn something. Learning right now.
Yeah, because when the kid comes, it's
now you have to teach somebody else, but you can't teach somebody something if you didn't even learn it yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the way I was thinking about the way I was thinking about it was if the kid comes, inshallah,
then
he'll speak strictly. To the kid in Soninke, and I'll just do strictly Hausa.
Like, even if I do the little phrases that I know from Hausa, I could also use that with the child, you know. And I feel like with children, they soak things up
quickly.
So I feel like if we use our languages in the house, they will get it. I've known of people who grew up like that. You know, the father Soninke. The mother is something else, but they grew up and they speak both languages. And then they added English on top.
Three languages.
You know, you see, so that's three languages.
Yep.
You didn't have to go to Africa. You spoke it here in your household, you see. But yeah, inshallah, I think it's possible, you know.
It's definitely possible. Allah,
you know, we just got to put in the work.
Inshallah.
Okay, so as you guys are not parents right now, what is one thing you guys fear? Or, like, what is something you fear when becoming parents? And what is one thing you guys look forward to?
I mean, this is a funny fear. I'll just get into the serious part, but I'm scared of babies. So, that's just the whole entirety of it. Like, I can't hold a baby until, like, maybe they're 6 months. So,
you'll pass that phase. I know.
But I think one thing that I truly, truly fear is not fulfilling my part as a parent. Because you may feel like you're doing your job, but what if they don't feel like you're being a parent? Like, a lot of our parents, they're trying their best. They're being parents, but we don't feel that. And also being emotionally available to your child. I want to make sure that that's also, like, you know, we're both human. So that also has to be there. So I really fear that I don't fulfill all those things I intend.
Oh, good luck, sis. You're going to be feeling that for a whole lifetime. That fear doesn't go away. You're always going to feel that you're not, am I doing enough for my child?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
And like, dua always changes that stuff.
Yeah.
That's actually what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Like,
That's what I was thinking. Like, you see why you pointed it out? You went straight like, yo, give it to her. Give it to her real quick.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, that's like the biggest fear. Like me, like, obviously, I have all these goals for my kids, you know. I want them to be on the dean, you know. So my fear is literally, like, I'm doing all this, but they don't do it. Because we see that here in our society today, you know. People that I grew up with, I see they're not, you know, doing what they're supposed to be doing. So that's my biggest fear, like, because, you know, obviously at home, you know, it's a different dynamic, you know. At home, you could be teaching your kids, do this, don't do this. This is what you have to do as a Muslim. But then when they go to school,
you don't know what they do.
Exactly. And they have different people. You know, your child might not be the one that is influencing. Maybe other people are influencing them. And they falling into that.
Yeah, they're not leaders.
So like, that's something like I'm really scared of, you know.
You know. What are you let's start with you. What are you excited about?
Let's respond to that.
What is he excited about?
Let's respond to that first. So what is, as a dad for a year, what is your response? How can someone get over this fear?
About what?
What he just said. His fear.
Yeah, about the school thingy?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so, now about like, basically, they kind of said the same thing.
Yeah, about the school thing.
Okay, yeah, so what is your fear?
What we always said is what we plan to do, because we're not even there ourselves.
Hold on, babe.
But what we plan to do.
Hold on. It was he said school, that's an example, but his thing wasn't only about school, though. You get what he was saying? I felt like what you were saying was that, basically what she's saying, like, you could do your best as a parent, and they don't do
their turn out the way you expect them to.
So you trying to tell me what's the answer to that, in a sense? So hey,
advice.
That's what I'm trying to do. So my thing is, like I said, we always said we try to bring the kids, like, who they hang with, to our crib, because our parents wasn't doing that. They let our Christian friends come to the house. That was like almost a note. What? Christian my house? That ain't happen. But our thing was, we're going to try to let the kids come, you know, so we know who they're hanging with. You know what I'm saying? Because a kid, if you give them that safe space where they feel like, oh, yeah, my dad, don't worry, he's cool. In a sense, although you have authority, but you give them that friendship also, where they're not afraid to come to you. That's why I feel like that's how you can avoid those things. And if you know that's a bad friend, come here, son. You know, I love you.
Let me lecture you.
I love you, man. You know that, right? I'm your guy right here, right?
Yeah.
I'm your first friend. So, yeah, that guy right there, we can't hang with him. You know what I'm saying? You make it seem like, yo, this is me and you. We both deleting that person. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. That's how I feel. Like.
No.
I mean, that's
like, that's good advice. I didn't know you was going to say that advice, but that's good advice. And also, like, being that, like, I feel like our parents, like, we hang out with the non-Muslims, and then they'd be like, don't hang out with this person. They bad.
You don't know
the line, like, this person can end up coming back and reverting back to Islam. Like, one of my friends in high school, I mean, hey, we wasn't the best Muslims, right? But she's still with us, and she's seen us how we act. She knew we didn't pray about Ramadan. And look at this. Like, this Ramadan, she reverted back to Islam. It's because she stayed with us, right? We never made her feel like, okay, nah, you a Catholic. You can't hang out with us. Yeah. And you don't know what the effect of you can do to someone.
So I like what you guys both said. It kind of, like, goes back to, I don't know if you guys have heard the conversation of, like, nature versus nurture. So, like, is it, like, the environment that they're in that's influencing their, like, their character, like, their growth, or is it, like, your parenting, like, how you, so I think you, like, you inviting their outside or their environment inside, like, merging both worlds, I think could be an easier way for you to
maneuver.
Actually, like, you know,
maneuver it, and, like, imagine the non-Muslim friend sees, oh, wow, your dad is really cool, and then later on, he's like, wow, now I remember my Muslim friend from this kid, this year was so nice to me, his family was so nice, and then he look into Islam, boom, he's Muslim. You don't know what that could do.
A lot of people don't convert after just hearing about the dance, what they see.
That's
what
I was talking.
So they see, like, the friends coming over, they see you're mad kind, you know, you're doing what Islam tells you to do. They seeing that, they seeing y'all pray. Sometimes they see that prayer, they join. You know, they don't know what they're doing. Little kids, like you said, they soak up this. So that person would do it, and maybe they could feel something in that fake, not gonna say fake prayer, but in that prayer, and then boom, out of nowhere, yo, they start looking into it little by little. So my thing is, we gotta try to convert them before they try to We were out here. So it's like, bring them close. Because yeah. they people be letting us come. Like, yo, hey, yeah. come to our house.
Come to the barbecue. Come to
Why
this?
They allow us to go? But we don't allow them don't to allow come them to ours. Exactly. So that's the, I feel like that's where our parents messed up. They didn't allow our friends to come. Mm-hmm. So now what we going to do? We're going, yo, pull up. Hey, man. Yo, what's it?
And what's better? Name? What's better? They're under your roof. They're doing something, and they're outside doing something.
Yeah, you don't know. Exactly. But you can see them. Because they're going to be outside. That's automatic. Right. You can't, pretty much in this America, you can't avoid that. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you bring it to you. Make it, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's my advice.
All right, mm-hmm. final thoughts. What is the last question? What is something you're looking forward to?
She will first. Right. No, I'm saying, what you just said. Yeah, bro.
You're still trying to pass the mic.
He said, come on, please, don't do this.
But, I mean, alhamdulillah, something I'm looking forward to, you know, just raising my children.
Brother, add on to that, brother.
Everybody looks forward to that.
No, like, I really want to, like, raise them on, you know, what I, like, on Islam. Like, mm-hmm. I'm really big on that. So, like, I'm really excited to see that. You know, they said when a father passes away, one of those things of Sadaqatul Jariyah is a father who passes away and leaves back a son who will make dua for him.
There you go.
Right? So, like, that's what I want, mm-hmm. you know? So, I want to teach him. I want to teach him the things that he needs to know.
And her.
Obviously, yeah, because the daughters are also our ticket to Jannah, inshallah.
Yeah, so, yeah, like, hell. Don't, we know. Yeah, we know.
But, yeah, that's like, I'm excited to, like, you know, teach them. Help them grow as Muslims, you know, so that when I depart this world, inshallah, they could pray for me. They could be my sadaqatul jariyah. They could be my ticket to Jannah.
Inshallah. I love that. Alhamdulillah. That's such beautiful advice.
For me, I think just watching them grow over the year. I don't know how it felt for you guys, but, like, just, you know, everything happens in a snap. So, like, just seeing, like, their growth, like, you know, them growing up, just experiencing that with them. Inshallah, I get to, like, you know, live till they have grandchildren. Inshallah. But, you know, I hope we all get to live that long.
I mean.
But, yeah, I think just seeing the growth of your children and everything that they pick up. Like, our niece is about to be 3, and, like, SubhanAllah, she can talk. You know, just how she went from, like, being 6 months to now is, like...
But imagine, you guys are not even the parents. Imagine how the parents feel.
Yeah, so... Just watching them grow is very exciting to see.
Yeah.
And, you know.
That. One thing I would say is, one thing I also want to add on is the role of the mother.
Yeah.
In parenting a child.
Mm.
No matter how much the father does, I'm not discrediting anything you do, but mainly the child is constantly with the mother. The child picks up everything, a lot of things from the mom. So your character is based on that. The things you do when worshiping Allah. Children watch you, especially their mom. My son, he just follows me around the house like my little unpaid bodyguard. That's what he does. Everything I do, he follows me. Everything, how I react, how he sees me when I'm in stressful situations, all that matters. So I think the role of the mother is very important. And as mothers, we should try our best to exude the best of character, Islamically and personally.
Yeah.
Yes. I wanted to say one more thing. My biggest fear. My biggest fear, and then you can go with, is leaving this world and not fully, like, raising my kids. Like, Allah, what if Allah, like, takes my life, like, while my children did not reach the age of puberty or something like that? That's my biggest. That's literally my biggest fear. But when you become a mother, this is the things that you think about. Like, what can I do now to ensure that my children are okay, you know? It happens, you know? People, every day, someone loses their mom, someone loses their father, right? So what can I do? I want to make sure I leave this world and my children know that I did my very best. I tried my best. I may have not been the best mother, but I tried my best to bring them closer to Islam. And even when children think about that, then they think that, well, okay, my mom was trying her best to keep me on this path. So let me just do this for her. Let me stay on this path for her, if anything, you know? Yeah. What is your biggest fear?
I thought you were going to give me the good one. What I'm looking forward to. How about that?
Okay, sure, you can answer. What are you looking forward to?
So my thing, what I'm really looking forward to, inshallah, is when I die, and then, you know, when I have that crown on my head, that my son memorized the Quran, inshallah. I ain't memorized it, so Pops, I apologize, man, but inshallah, I'm getting that crown, inshallah.
But babe, I want you to also remember, it takes hard work.
No, 100. We gonna do that.
It's hard work, and we have to like mentally prepare ourselves, especially if we're trying to do that with children that are living and surviving in the West. Mm. It's easier said than done. We can't just say we want our children to become hafiz of the Quran and we don't put in the work. When you say this means you don't sleep.
Hold on.
Not sleep, but you got to say like this is sweat and tears.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
100%. No, inshallah. Bob's gonna memorize it. Inshallah, we're gonna get that crown and we're gonna be laughing.
You know what I'm saying? But the thing about that is like Bob might memorize it, right? But then what about the other children? This is a never-ending thing. But like this is a never-ending thing though. Yeah. You're never done.
Right. I gotta start first, right? That's what you're pretty much trying to point out.
I mean, sure, if you took that from this. But what I was really saying is like, okay, Bob is good, but now we have to train another kid. You know, it's like never ending.
Yeah, but I feel like it's easier in a sense they could see their big brother.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of people, like I'm not saying my siblings, but some of them, like they look at me and they're like, for example, they trying to do this. Nah, Biagi might react. Because you know what I'm saying? So they do look at their big brother though.
Mm-hmm. So it's easier. Not like they taking the knowledge from the brain.
Not knowledge, but if they see Muhammad is on that path and he memorized, and no offense, they see the parents loving that. You know, oh, damn, so that's what my parents love. Mm-hmm. I want to do that now. Mm-hmm. In a sense, it gives them that little motivation. And they'll ask him, he'll give them that little advice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just make sure you know what Shamsi would do. Ha ha. Because Pops, he don't play about what Shamsi.
I'm going to ask
you
about that.
Oh, I'm asking. Oh, my kids, boss, come here. What's Naz yet? Oh, God. That's my first thing. Inshallah, that's pretty much what it is, you know. Yeah. So it gets easier with time because I feel like the first kid is the one y'all learning. But yeah. Once you get that out the way, you kind of know how to maneuver. Yeah. Like we said, we saving the clothes. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. Mm-hmm, we kind of know what we going. Inshallah. But yeah. Inshallah. Well, first son. Now daughter's another story. So now I gotta try to.
Right, but you know, it's blessings
with that. That's a different way to maneuver too.
I don't know for you guys, just kind of like the final thought. Sorry, that is when it's
over. No, that's okay.
I feel like one of the struggles for me, per se, I don't know if the same thing with you guys. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up seeing my dad teach us Quran. Mm-hmm. I don't exactly know the steps I have to take to, like, I know I definitely have to start huruf and da 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 da. But, like, you know when you, like, see your parents, who you're like, okay, he did this for us, I can follow, mm-hmm. you know, this is the steps that he took, da da da. It's like, we're learning everything from scratch. Mm-hmm. How to teach your son this, how to do murajah like this, you know?
That's why you got me.
Okay, inshallah.
Man, them know all the steps. I went to tahfiz, remember?
That's sure.
You seen it all. Huruf, this. I know the books that I got to buy. No, and Muhammad, good. That huruf, he's going to be above and beyond in that, inshallah.
I mean, yeah. My dad did teach us, though.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, when we came back. Because I think the masjid we went to, they were teaching us, like, with the transliteration.
Mm.
And he didn't like that. So, he made time on it. Like, again, like, thinking back about it, like, you're like, dang, they made a lot of sacrifices.
Yeah.
At the time, we didn't really take it. Like, we took it for granted. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my God, you're bothering us. It's our weekend. Mm. But he bought, like, a little board.
Mm.
He would put it up. Yeah. And then we learned. We would memorize. It was just me and my sisters at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then my brothers were there, but they weren't learning just yet. Which mm-hmm. I feel like they should have started.
Mm-hmm.
So he would teach us, like, the Quran, like, fiqh of prayer. And, like, you know. And then we had to learn the alphabets, like, just Arabic language, and then he noticed we didn't know his language, and then we had to start learning that too. But I forgot everything. Like, I remember we had this little brown notepad that would start taking stuff, but yeah.
May Allah, bless your father.
Amen.
May he grant him Jannah, lighten up his grave, inshallah. Amen. And may you, since you on your path to memorize the Quran, may you memorize it so he could get the crown. You know, I say I want that crown. May your dad get that crown.
I mean,
my dad, unless if he sent my little brother right now, what it's looking like.
You see what I'm talking about? He don't have the intention of memorizing.
I'm saying, man. Look, if you make the intention,
I got people that
try, you won't be able to do it.
Yeah, but you sitting here like, my dad ain't getting the crown. Da, 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 like,
I know, he ain't going to get it. Hey, we still got Baba and Khadija. Khadija out here on the move. You know what I mean?
Make that intention for yourself, my
brother.
For
me, I'm not going to lie. Inshallah.
That's it.
Yeah,
I try my best a little bit.
There are older fathers in the masjid learning right now.
Yeah,
not saying you have to get to that age, but there's still time, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
But you never know how much time you have.
Pops, I got you. You getting that crown. That crown is coming on your head, inshallah, my God. Your father about to get it, inshallah, too, right?
Inshallah.
Wait, your dad is memorizing the Quran?
I say he about to get the crown.
He's also in, like, because Ustaz have, like, classes the elder. For the elder. He's in that class, too. But, like, us, like, growing up, my dad, like, he put us in masjids and all of that. Like, he wasn't really
on it,
you know? Because, obviously, they came to this country. They trying to just
work
so they could give us a better life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now that, you know, alhamdulillah, me and my brother went to Africa, we were able to, we got the foundation. Mm-hmm. We came back, we know how to read. He left us in Ustaz's hands. Alhamdulillah, he see the progress. You know, now he's at a point where he's getting closer to us through the Quran as well.
Wow.
Even before I moved out, I remember one time, he was like, we're going to make a schedule. Every Thursday, mm-hmm. everybody's going to sit down, see what you're going to teach us all.
Wow.
Yeah, so we started doing that until we moved out.
Mm.
You know, and then he joined Ustaz's class. Even at home now, they're pushing me to teach my little brother. Because my little sister has a teacher, she don't play.
Wow.
Yo, if my sister read Quran today, you won't think that this was a girl that read Quran, learned Quran in America.
Wow.
We gotta bring your sister to come read.
So,
I gotta see this.
And it's like, that I give all the props to the teacher because her, she don't play. She's very serious. Yeah, she's I had students where I wasn't able to help them. Mm-hmm. They went to her class, they know how to read the huruf, they know how to read Quran. Wallahi, big shout out to her. But yeah, so like through, you know, everything that we're going through in the Misire, my dad has, you know, gotten closer to the Quran. He brought his family along with him. Wow. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
I love that, man. I love that to all our parents. Have mercy on them.
I mean,
any final thoughts for this episode?
Not really.
Okay, well, then let's conclude the episode. Oh, babe, do you have any final thoughts?
Uh-uh.
Mm. I feel like I learned a lot from this episode.
No, I learned. I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, even you saying your dad, I'm about to buy a board. Oh, I'm dead serious. That's right now. When she said that board to me, I'm like, yo, that's actually like...
Yeah, why don't you create a teaching thing in your house?
And we got that school. Like, you were not playing.
Wow. Exactly. Even after Maghrib, you know what I'm saying? The whole them sitting there. I like all of that. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. Your dad really... Because he really did that. Wow. It was like teaching me. I'm like, yo, these are steps I gotta start taking. You know? It inspired me, to be honest. It really did. See, that's why you conversate with other people, because they give you other perspectives. Yeah. Although we're the ones with a kid. You just taught me a lot about how to raise a kid. You know what I mean? So, Allahu Akbar.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what I got to say.
All right, let's conclude the episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear sisters.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers. Until the next episode.
Inshallah.
All right.